fire up the jetpack, listen to it howl and roar. Blast off from the ridge and glide on down and take your throne. Highway to the Beaver Zone. Fly into the Beaver Zone. Defending side.
Defense.
Gotta get the rockets, kick it into overdrive. Right into the Beaver Zone. Bet I'm gonna splash right through the Beaver Zone. You'll never get those rockets in time unless you choose the scout class when you spawn. You'll never know what you can do if you just stay put with Armalock.
Hill control.
Grab hammer in hand, Jerome Oxworth to conquer thee.
In the zone.
Protecting Bunch employees and all of its property. All while in the Beaver Zone. He's gonna take the fight into the Beaver Zone. Wrestling bears in the Beaver Zone. All while in the Beaver Zone. Chaos in the Beaver Zone. You just got teabagged in the Beaver Zone.
1 minute remaining.
Nay, nays in the Beaver Zone. Swimming in the Beaver Zone.
Welcome to Podtacular episode 239, Multiplayer Mayhem for November 2nd, 2010. Woot, 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 woot indeed. We have Greg back on the show.
Yes.
It's been a long time since you've been, what you've been up to?
I saw that your boy's been sitting in my chair. Screwing up my butt groove, gotta fix it back in.
Well, when you've been gone for that long of a time, people just tend to take what's not theirs.
Butt groups tend to go away. Be a cease and desist letter going to him.
Uh-oh.
Quite soon. Anywho, a lot of nothing. Just doing schoolwork, playing a lot of Reach, doing a lot of. Not really a lot if you think about the 117 million, and I've got like 50 of them, so. Trying to get at challenges, trying to help out, do my thing. But,
very nice.
Yeah, I mean, pros are going pretty good. If you guys haven't paid attention or don't know, you should know. You should check this out. Check the pro, the section in the forums, hit up old Regime, Anorexic, or myself if you guys are interested in joining. It's going good, man. Just playing, get some good games going in. It's always fun playing with people who are, you know, like-minded and they understand how to play. Like, you don't want somebody who's at the end of the game, you know, and it's the flag's a priority and they're sitting around trying to shoot people. You don't really need that.
Right.
If you guys are interested, join up, or at least just let us know, because it's going good. I mean, it's pretty awesome. You guys can get in on the madness.
Aren't you guys supposed to be having a clan match at some point soon?
Yeah. We haven't set a date. I think, actually, Regime knows the date. He just doesn't want to tell people. Until we figure out the right team, because he doesn't want to tell everybody, hey, you know, it's going to be this Saturday, I would not, and then everybody's going to want to be on the team, and then if we don't choose those people, they might get mad. I think we're just going to announce a team and time at the same time.
Right. I don't know. I don't know if I'm good enough for the pro clan.
I don't know. I want to see Brent try out, because Brent's got some moves, but I don't know. I can't make him. And Dustin,
nah, I'm just not good enough. For real.
I mean, you're pretty good, Brent. I don't know, Brent. I wouldn't test you.
Not pro quality.
I had to take a one-on-one match, bring back the old, what we call it?
Oh, geez, the Podtacular Face-Offs.
Yes.
That'd be a cool project if people actually signed up for them. But.
Dude, I remember. I won the first match ever. I remember. It was pretty awesome.
Well, it was between you and...
Nobody.
Yeah. And it was just kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing.
Yeah. And then I think, it was right. Somebody taped it. I don't remember who taped it.
I taped it.
Oh, you taped it. Yeah. That was before you were host, though.
Yeah, that was way before I was host.
That was way a long time ago.
That was during that show intermission. The long intermission.
During the lull. As we like to call it. But anyway, everything's going great. Hopefully, if we hammer down time, we'll start doing this weekly, guys. We want to. It's not like we don't want to do this, guys. We want to do it for you. Great people listening to the show. Great people submit. Great people are on the show. Our guest host this week, he's a baller. We want to do it. It's fun. We enjoy doing it. I hope you guys enjoy listening. So
one of the big problems is finding time in Greg's schedule because he works mostly in that afternoons and evenings, which kind of makes it rough for the rest of us because our open time is in the evenings and he's working.
Yeah, you know, I got schoolwork. So that usually happens during the day, and I got work that usually happens during the night. So you know how that goes,
right? It's just a better.
We'll figure it out.
We'll appropriately. For you guys. Like for example, we're recording this at 1 a.m. Eastern time right now.
I'm pretty sure it's what Lane signed up for.
Well, I'm West Coast, so it's only 10. So
okay.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad over there. It's like. As far as he doesn't know, we're going to be recording until 1 his time.
So. Oh, no. I got to get to bed before then.
I've heard about your long recording sessions.
Dude, you don't even – like when Fumo and JBB were doing it, they would record for – oh, my God.
Wouldn't they record like a couple shows back-to-back or something?
Yeah. It would be three shows throughout the week, but they would record them all at one time.
Right.
So
I thought it was just – they did that for what, like 2 months? And then they said, okay, this is way too much work.
No. They did it for a long time. No. It was at least like 6-7 months. It was for a while. It was a long time.
Maybe. Okay. But yeah.
I was on two of them, so I'm pretty sure it was a while.
That's another particular person I've met, actually, is Spellcheck.
You met him? He lives near you. He lives in Tulsa, right?
I don't remember where he lives.
Okay.
I think he has family in Tulsa. I think
Yeah. Enough about me. Let's move on to the man of the hour. The guest hostess with the mostest.
Mr. Lane Thomas or King Louis.
King Louis.
The author of probably one of the best videos on YouTube. You should go check it out. It's Beaver Zone, based off of what was the episode number?
Don't remember.
It was the one with Beer's Angel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, now I need to go find it.
I'm watching it right now.
Yeah, it's done pretty well actually. I showed that to Brent, and Brent was like, "OMG."
That's pretty cool. He did it before Reach came out.
Yeah, which was actually impressive.
I heard you guys wanted to like do it over the summer, but you know, lyrics started flowing around in my head, so I just decided to go for it.
Right. Well, we're glad you did, because it actually turned out pretty well.
Right, thank you.
Episode 223.
Highway to the Beaver Zone.
And we'll put the song somewhere in the podcast here, so you can listen to it.
This has to be the opening music.
Do you want me to send you like an MP3 of that or something?
Oh,
sure.
My God.
we can attach it to the post.
It's going to be my freaking ringtone.
I can send you a karaoke version too if you want.
We found the karaoke somewhere, I think.
I was looking up Amazon for like karaoke versions when I was first starting, but they all had like backing lyrics in them. So I just decided to, you know, like make my own.
So, like, if I had a karaoke machine, I could play it, and I could
sing along to it.
Well, I mean, it probably wouldn't, like, work in the karaoke machine. Like, the lyrics wouldn't pop up or anything, but it's just, you know, with no lyrics, so you can sing along.
We have to get this on Rock Band if that's true. To find a way to get it on. I want to play Beaver Zone on Rock Band. That'd be so tight. Can't you do that now? Could you make your own games or songs in Rock Band?
Yeah, but from what I've heard, the editor really sucks. It's very limited.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna try to do it though.
You can't like import songs. You have to actually manually go and change like the pitch and tone of the guitar. So it's not really worth it.
So what do you do besides spend time in the Beaver Zone? What is it else that you frequently do?
Well, I enjoy making machinima and other live action videos. I have a separate YouTube channel called Thomas Productions where we do all that. Me and my two other friends have a machinima series going on called Marlon the Elite. So we just recently, I think it was like in the past couple of months, passed 50 episodes. So we've been doing it for quite a while.
Wow.
So, was there anything that inspired you directly to, you know, do the machinimas? Did you do live action first?
Yeah, we were doing like live action stuff, you know, messing around with, you know, like, back then we had a really crappy, you know, camcorder and stuff. And then one day I'm like, hey, you know, I should try and figure out this machinima thing and, you know, see if I can make one myself.
What capture card do you use?
When I first started, I used this like VCR hookup where, you know, I'd hook up the Xbox to the VCR and then, you know, one output would go to the TV and the other would, you know, record onto the little mini DV tape. Mm-hmm. But, now I recently upgraded to the Hapage HD PVR. So
okay.
That's been working pretty well.
So anybody who's looking, for a good HD capture card. It's one you gotta go get. How much would you say that baby runs for?
It's like $200 or $300.
Wait, what was it called again?
It's the Hapage.
The HD. Hapage. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I use a Mac, so it's like the most reasonably priced capture device for the Mac.
Sweet.
I don't know. I would. There's another one out there. It's Blackmagic Intensity Pro, which is also $200. And that's the one I'm using, and it's Windows and Mac compatible, and it works pretty well.
Might have to do a donation to Mr. Lane Thomas and show him what they're doing. If I sell it at Best Buy, I'll see what I can get it for, because we get mass.
I don't think Blackmagic offers to Best Buy.
No, we don't sell a lot of things. Like, we don't
maybe the Hoppage.
But anywho, on your newest machinima, where'd you get the idea for that? Was there, did you like watch other machinimas and there's something you wanted to add to it? Or was there a story you wanted to tell? Or were you just experimenting?
So, like when I started out, like with the series, or like the most recent machinima that I've done?
Just most recent machinima.
No, okay. I mean, like the one you guys are currently working on.
Alright, so the one that we're currently working on is kind of like just continuing the series. We're working on episode, I think it's like 54 now. And, it's more geared towards, you know, like a younger audience. And, you know, like there's no swearing in it and stuff. So more sort of kid friendly.
Would you direct people to go to YouTube to see your stuff, or would you direct them to go to another place?
If you want to see it, you can just go to youtube.com/Thomas Productions.
We'll put a link in the show notes so people can get to it. Yeah. It's going there right now.
Yeah, actually, I am going there. I'm looking at your current YouTube page, and I was looking for this one that you were talking about, and I was like, I don't see this. What is it? I see your page, the Lane K. Thomas page.
Yeah, that's like my personal YouTube channel that I have for posting, random stuff.
You have another one called King Louie.
Does he have multiple ones or something?
He's got split personalities.
How long have you been working on your current production? If you said it's episode 54, would that be what, a year or more? Or
of the whole series or just that episode?
The series.
Oh, geez. We started the series back in with Halo 2. It was the beginning of September in 2007.
Okay.
So we've been, you know, trying to do it kind of consistently. The past, like, year or so, we haven't been able to get, you know, as many episodes out as we would like. But, you know, we're still making them and stuff. And we have sort of like a small, dedicated fan base that seems to like what we're doing.
Do you ever mix the machinima and the live action?
I don't think we have in the past, but there's like an idea that I had for like a film project for class that involves sort of a mixing of the two.
Okay. So are these on your King Louis 501? Is that your gameplay?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm not claiming to be like, you know,
Halo player ever.
Yeah.
I need to ask you.
I still put cool clips up on my channel.
I need to get somebody to upload some of my stuff. I need to ask Dusty if she needs to get some of my stuff.
Yeah. Just send them on over. I've said plenty of times I'd render stuff for you.
Yes. Well, that's pretty awesome. Good. I hope you guys will do great down there. Hopefully some people from our, you know, our show end up coming over to your stuff. But check out, it's Thomas Productions on YouTube.
Yep.
It would be just / Thomas Productions, actually.
Yeah.
Your newest one is.
Indeed, it would be.
You guys got a lot of views for this last video you guys did. It just came out, too.
Yeah, that's a decent amount.
Oh, that's his 2007.
Yeah.
Hey, don't be hating.
I was like, oh, wow, he's been getting out there for like a day.
Sorry. Yeah, I think like the most views on a video that I've gotten was, it's pretty up there. It was like 500,000, and it's one that I totally didn't expect. I just kind of threw together some footage from some Halo 3 trailers and stuff and kind of recut it a bit to Breaking Benjamin's Blow Me Away. And then it was like I posted it right before Halo 3 came out, and then it just suddenly took off. So.
Did they have it on HBO or anything?
I don't think they had that video on there, but I've had, like, I think it was like two of my videos on there.
Did they do Marlon the Elite?
They didn't put up Marlon the Elite, but I made a standalone machinima right before Reach came out called 'Twas the Night Before Reach. And they posted that to their site. And then also Hottie McBloggy posted it on her blog.
That was you?
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
So let's say I'm an aspiring machinimaist or machinimer-er. I don't know how you would say it. Any tips you would give me or other people? You've obviously been doing this for a long, long time, so you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Is there anything you would like, besides, I guess, like getting a capture card off the bat is probably the number one thing, but like.
It depends on, you know, like what type of rig you have and, you know, like what you want to do. If you're just starting out, I mean, basically just use whatever you can, except for, you know, like doing a bootleg style and just filming the TV, because.
No shaky cam. That's the worst idea.
That's the only option.
That's a big no-no. That kind of separates, you know, kind of like the amateurs from, you know, the people who are starting to get more serious about it. So
you can still do standard definition and make it look pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically, you know, use whatever you can at first and then, you know, just experiment with a bunch of stuff and, you know, try and get a, you know, a good concept going. And as far as like getting views on YouTube and stuff, it's really just kind of luck of the draw. So
you can't pull Unforgivable out every day. I mean, come on. Not every day. Was there a big hurdle that you had to jump, let's say, that like at the start when you were starting out and you like had an epiphany that, you know, maybe you were doing something wrong or something you had to change up?
Not really that much. When we started out posting machinimas, we were getting, you know, like, you know, not that many views. So there wasn't, you know, a lot of people around to really criticize. And then after that one video that we posted, I think it was the Halo 3 music video, then I think it started to draw, you know, people to our page and stuff, and they started to notice our series and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then also, really another tip that I have is, like, because YouTube is, you know, infamous for, you know, the comments and stuff like that. So really it's just, you know, if you enjoy what you're doing, you know, just keep doing it.
Mm.
You know, don't, if, you know, other people, you know, say, you know, I hate this and stuff, you know, it really doesn't matter too much, you know, what they think. It's, you know, as long as it pleases you, then you're doing the right thing.
Hate is gonna hate. So just remember that.
I need to get to writing my script since I'm revising it to Reach.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we can move on to.
Yeah, enough about me.
That was cool. You know, I'm in second form. I like to hear this. Machinima, I think everybody is at least a little bit interested in doing it. Like, if everything was set up for me, I could probably, like, I would be interested in doing it, but I really just, like, the capture card and, you know, learning how to edit and all that stuff would just take too long for me.
Yeah.
I've always been interested. I think a lot of people are at least interested in hearing about it. I'm pretty sure it's probably one of the main things people would like to try out to do.
Yeah.
Are you scratching, like, a scratch-away lottery ticket or something, Greg?
No, I'm sorry. I do dumb things when I'm bored.
You're bored?
No, I mean, there's just something on my desk, and I'm trying to get it off.
I think one of the big obstacles for making Machinima is coming up with creative ideas that's going to catch on with other people.
Yeah.
You mean, like, other people are going to like it? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Because if you don't have something that people are really looking for, or it's not going to really touch them in the way that you want to portray something to your audience, then it's not going to grab any attention. So,
if you don't touch them and grab, what are you trying to tell
us? Yeah, I thought about that as I was saying. I'm like, that might not be the right choice of words to use, but oh well.
Anywho. I think we should get into the submissions really quick. Hey, right. Brent.
Well,
Brent,
talk about.
Oh, what's going on? What's
talk up? About.
Do what now?
Player. We could. I mean, we have some thoughts about it first, right?
Thoughts. Yeah. Reach. Yeah, Brent. Why don't you weigh in your thoughts?
Since he's.
Well, I mean, what do you want to talk about first?
Talk about the multiplayer.
Talk about. Talk about the different types of maps.
Okay, like.
I would say it's healthy, but there are some.
What are your favorite? What
that are terrible?
Like talk about maps that you think work well for certain game types, and then maps that you maybe don't like as much.
Brent, take the floor.
Okay, I think the Forge World maps are pretty great for usually the 4v4 Slayer. Paradiso's good for big team battle though, so you obviously. Yeah. Have a lot of divergence in game types within Forge World. I guess the reason I like the Forge World maps the most is because a lot of it are the Halo 2 remakes. I like the new Ascension remake. It's got a few problems with it concerning like the middle gravity lift. You still do like take fall damage after you use it. It's kind of lame.
About Pinnacle or like another remake?
Pinnacle.
No, it's the Ascension remake.
Pinnacle. Yeah, that's Pinnacle.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know if like it was another.
No, this is the only one.
Yeah.
No.
Making sure.
I mean, since they introduced fall damage, I would think it would be in there anyways.
Yeah.
It'd be really nice because
the launch height is about the same, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the only difference is really the fall damage.
Yeah.
Which actually, it's not that much. It's like what, maybe 15-20% of your shields.
It's a little bit, but it's still enough to put you at a disadvantage in a DMR battle.
Yeah, but you're still open to attack, like in Halo 2. It's like you take the lift, okay, everyone's going to be looking in that direction shooting at you now.
Yeah, but back then, you didn't lose any health falling down.
Right.
If you chose that, it didn't punish you for choosing it.
I just don't see it as big of an issue.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a huge issue. I'm just saying it's little stuff like that that you notice. The differences that the gameplay changes in Reach, you know, have on those certain maps, the impact.
Other than that, though, it seems like a pretty much true remake of Ascension.
Yeah.
Haven't seen any Tower of Power yet, though.
I would say that game is pretty awesome. I mean, the level is very... It's probably one of the best that, in at least a Slayer sense. I don't really like it in Flag. Flag just seems really too easy.
Yeah.
Especially if you've got, like, four people who know what they're doing. You know, it's kind of easy to...
Then there's Hot Potato.
I mean, I haven't actually played that yet, so I don't know. Really.
I found that the invasion maps don't lend themselves as well to capture the flag as I thought they would. Because sometimes you'll go into big team battle and the invasion maps will show up. It'll be like Spire or Boneyard. And I think I've seen it on Boneyard. Yeah, because they just... they go along the length of the ship. They have one base on each side.
Right.
So, but like the Spire, one flag on the Spire is kind of lame. Because the flag is in that little Covenant battery. I guess kind of north of the main Spire. But you can actually take the flag and then rocket up to the Spire and then jump down. But people never do that. They never understand that they need to take the flag inside the base and kind of go up that little spiral staircase in the Covenant battery and just use the grav lift up there. But they always try to push it out the front of the base, which doesn't work because the entire team's like spawning right there. So the second they spawn, they're just shooting you in the face.
I would think they would have the flag going the opposite direction where it would start in the Spire and you take it down.
I don't think they wanted a situation where it'd be real easy to just take the flag and throw it down. Because that's essentially what you're doing if you put the flag up there.
I mean, it's similar to the invasion stuff.
Yeah, but the invasion stuff has other factors. Obviously, invasion is tiered. So you can't even touch the objective until you finish the first two tiers.
Well, yeah, I know, but...
Big team battle, if you were good enough, you could potentially get to the flag within the first, 30 seconds of the game. So you would just rocket up to the top of the Spire from your base, grab their flag, and just jump down, and the matches would be way too short. But I don't think that they should have put capture the flag game types on the invasion maps at all. That's not what they were made for.
Boneyard doesn't seem that bad, maps. Though.
I mean, I'm just saying, in terms of all of the different game types and maps, this is my least favorite combination. This is where I think they kind of failed.
I think Zealot was my least favorite combination of anything.
I don't know. Zealot seems okay for Team Slayer and SWAT.
Yeah, I really like that for, those Team Slayer games.
Team SWAT's a good one, too.
It aggravates me. Least... I hate Infection on Zealot.
Oh, I haven't tried that yet.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean they just had it on top?
I don't know if they fixed it. But the way it was originally was you would just go up to the outer space portion of the map, where you're 0G, and people, the zombies, come out of the grav lift and rocket out in a very predictable fashion. So,
oh, yeah, they fixed that.
Just sit there, in outer space with your pistol, just popping zombies in the head as they come out of the grav lift. And when you're a zombie, you can't, change your trajectory or direction. When you're coming out of the grav lift, so they know where to hit you in the head every time. They know where you're going to land.
Yeah, Bungie said they fixed that.
Yeah.
They put a kill barrier there, or a safe barrier.
I think I remembered them fixing that, and that's why I said that that's the way it was. But for a while, it was like that. It was just kind of lame. The humans would always rack up points, and it sucked because sometimes you would get, a really unlucky match where you wouldn't be a human at all. You would get zombies for, all three rounds of the match. So you'd end up with, maybe two kills, and the humans would end up with, 35. A piece.
Yeah.
The big team battle maps are pretty good. I enjoy the Blood Gulch remake. That's pretty fun. At first, I thought
Hemorrhage.
Hemorrhage.
Hemorrhage is the Punzors.
It had some problems with the Scorpion in the beginning, but doesn't seem like that big of a deal now, I think.
What do you mean problems?
Well, the Scorpion was just way too overpowered. I don't think people understood how to play the game properly yet. They didn't understand the differences, you know, with all the armor abilities. And
the tank is definitely stronger than it is in Halo 3.
New EMP gameplay mechanics. But I don't know. The Warthog.
It would have been interesting if Bungie made it to where the tank shell would actually bounce off of the armor lock instead of just blowing up.
Oh, yeah.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. I've noticed that the armor lock really changes the way people drive the Ghost. Like,
yeah.
I haven't seen a whole lot of people go for splatters when they don't have to. Now, if they think they're someone off guard, they'll go for it. But
I don't know. Whenever I drive the Revenant, I try it a lot.
I'm just afraid of those dudes that have the armor lock and they're just waiting for me.
Right.
You charge right at those guys, and if they, you know, hit their armor ability at the right time, you're going to explode and take out, you know, whoever's with you.
Did you notice that they named the pop and lock thing after us? Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, I noticed that.
We totally came up with that. I'm joking.
We should get, like, some royalties off of that or something.
I'm pretty sure they don't make any money off of it, but if they did, we would totally be suing.
I don't think we'd own the rights to pop and lock anyway, so it wouldn't matter.
I'm joking. That's the first thing I thought when I saw the...
That's what I thought, too, yeah. It's pop and lock. Oh, that was us.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I've heard that somewhere before. how about you, Lance? Is there any thoughts about Reach multiplayer that stick out in your mind?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
I think his name is Lane, not Lance.
Lane, not Lance.
All right, so...
We're talking to Lance.
He's not Marty.
I love Marty, though.
I think we all love Marty. Yeah, Lance, Marty's gamer tag on Live is Lance.
Oh. I did not know that. Good to know. So anyway,
everyone's been spamming his inbox right now.
So yeah, I'm really liking Invasion, especially when you you know, get together in a group with some of your buddies and stuff, and you can kind of coordinate and have a strategy. That's really fun, especially on Spire. Huh. We always go for the Falcon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even when we're elites, we like try and push to the back to get the vehicles.
And then they just spawn camp back there, which is annoying.
Yeah.
So that'd be frustrating.
What's frustrating for you there, Dustin Man?
The spawn camping.
Oh. I don't know. I don't think I have nightmares about it like you do, but I would say that
I don't have nightmares about it. It's just frustrating.
Spawn camping. Oh, spawn camping. I wake up in a deep, cold sweat.
I've gotten really used to the spawn on your bro system, and it's when I'm playing like big team battle.
Spawn on your bro co-op style.
Yeah.
Oh, when I'm playing, well, that should be a clicker.
When I'm playing like a big team battle or something, I find myself, you know, switching camera angles, thinking I could, you know, like spawn, you know, where the camera is.
Oh, if anybody's listening right now,
kind of annoying.
And they are able to like grab a quote. Can you grab that so we can play that more often? Spawn on your bro. I think if we ever do a
spawn on your bro.
If we ever do a firefight thing, that's how we're gonna open it up.
What? You can't spawn on players in firefight.
I mean, oh geez, Invasion, God.
I must say, what are you talking about here?
It's 2 a.m, all right. I've been up all day.
Fair enough.
2 a.m, guys. You're killing me.
They should have made that one of the medals. Instead of like, what?
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, like,
achievement. Like a five.
I know there's like the spawning spree and stuff, but
is it?
There's achievement for it. You get like 5 spawns on if your bro spawns on you, a certain amount of times, you get an achievement for it. Come on.
Oh. I've breezed through all of those achievements. I don't even know what achievements are anymore.
I don't have Lieutenant Colonel yet. Do you have it?
No. I'm close, though. I'm 35,000 credits away from Lieutenant Colonel.
Oh, that's quote-unquote close.
35,000. It's pretty close, yeah.
Do you have any
thoughts? I'll probably have that by the end of the week.
What's your thoughts on it, there, Dusty, that campaign thing?
Campaign? We're talking about or multiplayer.
Multiplayer. I can't think about nothing. Well, I'm turning my brain off. Turning it off.
Reboot.
I'm looking at the challenges for today. I still got 4 hours for. I'm checking them out.
Right. I mean, as far as I can tell, the multiplayer stuff is good. I do like the DMR difference from the battle rifle. It seems like a good replacement. It doesn't seem like it's really taken too much of a bad effect to players.
A negative,
that's the word I'm looking for. A negative effect to players. And from what I've heard, a lot of commentating and stuff, a lot of people actually like the DMR change over the BR.
I don't like the idea of what it brings to a competitive video game world. I think this is the first thing Brent brought up a couple months ago was there is a really big thing of luck that's taken into the algorithm. Because you could hit somebody potentially when it's bloomed out, and then you could not at the same exact time.
So, right, but that's a little more realistic.
I mean, it's truthful that the longer you do wait, the better of a chance you have. But
and
it's not like it's definite for every single time. So,
yeah. I mean, the DMR is very controlled though. Once you have that rhythm down. It's you'll pretty much get your man every time.
Yeah.
I'm assuming a lot of the pros have really practiced on getting that timing down. If I'm really close to someone, I'll spam like my first four shots and then I'll wait for the bloom to go down before I get my next one or two off.
Mm.
But if I'm far away, I'll let the bloom go down and make the pace a little slower.
That's what I'm saying, though. The pros are much closer together in terms of skill, and they're obviously going to be almost as good as each other if they're going to play competitively. So
I don't think it's that much.
The differences, the little differences, are going to make a bigger impact on competitive play. That's what I'm saying. Like if you go into a fight, if you get the rhythm down, you're going to beat somebody who might not have been playing as long. They don't know the rhythm as well as you do. There are a lot of players out there like that, right? So you're obviously going to have an advantage despite that factor of luck, because if you're better at having that rhythm down, you're going to beat noobs and just players that don't, you know, play Halo as religiously as you do. But with the pros, they play at the same level, you know, pretty much. They're all, well, not all of them. There are obviously better players than others. But in general terms, they're all at pretty much the same skill level. So that factor of luck is going to make an even bigger difference in competitive play. Because, you know, if you're all shooting at the same, you know, I guess if you looked at it, there's an optimum kind of rhythm to the DMR, you know, where you will hit more accurately the most amount of times if you get that boom, rhythm down.
Boom, boom.
But you could, in theory, completely disrupt that by, you know, maybe taking that second shot after it bloomed out and hoping it hits. And if you were to take that second shot, you would have the advantage if it did hit, because they would have two shots on them as opposed to the one that they put on you while they were waiting for their bloom to come down.
Right. Well, I mean, another factor of that is distance.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's whatever logarithm they put in there to figure out whether or not it hits or not. I haven't looked at it. I can't see the source code, so it just doesn't seem to be 100% accurate, and it seems like in a gaming environment / world, whatever you want to call it, it seems like the more definite you can be, better it is. But I mean, overall, I like it because I think that I can pull news pretty well. But I have noticed, sometimes that it just doesn't register the way that I was expecting, you know.
Right.
I wouldn't say it happens often, but I could say it happens. That but yeah, I do. I would say it is a good. I guess you would call it. Wouldn't call it a predecessor because it came before the BR and the lore, or I don't know how you want to.
I would say successor in this case. Even though Bungie, or at least there was some debate about the DMR being before it, but I mean it's technically a predecessor. But
yeah, I wonder what like the fiction is behind that, since they had a prototype of the BR way back with Harvest. So I'm not sure where the DMR fits in, if it's technically like a prototype too, or if it's its own
beast. They're probably gonna say that it's like a Spartan weapon, like. Because they said that the Mark V-B was only used at Spec War Group 3, so...
I don't remember. There was some debate about it in the forums, and then something on the Bungie community forums, too.
Yeah. But I'm just glad that we didn't see the focus rifle throughout Halo history. I'm glad that... Well, the Covenant got rid of that after Reach.
They were like, that's one of the most annoying weapons.
Oh, I love it. I mean, I am great with it. I'm just I hate it on the campaign. I don't mind multiplayer side. It's just the campaign. Whenever they get one, it is annoying as heck.
Yep.
Yeah, those jackals on top of like the hill in Firefight, they are so annoying.
Yeah. What is that on the waterfront or whatnot?
Yeah, it's like the nighttime map.
Yeah. Impossible to get. It's not impossible, but it's just really annoying you're trying to kill these elites and this guy's pegging you from halfway across the map.
I typically veto Waterfront because I really don't like that map for some reason. It's just all the spawns around you seem
a little ridiculous. Mr. Dustin?
But the comment you made earlier, Greg, brings me to another thing I kind of don't necessarily dislike, but is kind of a little naggy, is since Halo Reach's hit scan, I could be behind a wall from the person I'm running away from, and it shows him as killing me, even though I would, from my point of view, I'm behind the wall where he couldn't even see me.
Yeah, but...
I have a bit of an issue with that, where I wish the Bungie would actually kind of balance that out and average it. I get it if I'm running wide out in the open, and he shoots me in the head, and, I mean, technically if I weren't in the same place, but he still shot me if I'm wide open, that makes sense. But if I'm like running behind a wall, I mean, you're kind of counting on split second timing, and I would think there should be some kind of like balance between timing that he shoots and then timing when it registers, and kind of have some kind of balancing where, okay, halfway in between, was this guy behind the wall or not, and then say, and make the determination from there.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, I think I would have to be more into understanding how they determine when it's hit or not, but I do agree that I don't like it, but I don't really know if there's a way to get else to code a game with that much information going on that it could be that accurate every single time.
Well, there's already a lot of information going on anyways.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know how they could do it so that there's more going around so that if you're behind the wall, everybody knows it at the same time. I don't know.
I do like the hit scan system better, though, and I think I'm a better Reach player than I am a better Halo 3 player because of the hit scan.
What is this? Burger King is doing a Kinect thing? Hold on.
What? Yeah.
Burger King Kinect games. Is this what I'm reading? Oh yeah. No, they're just doing a they're giving away a Kinect every 10 minutes. I gotta show you.
That would have been cool if it was like a Burger King game, and then you would show up on the screen as the Burger King.
No, I mean they used to have burger. You remember the games that they had like Burger Bump in it or something?
Yeah.
I think I bought all three.
There's the McDonald's Monopoly thing going on right now, too.
No, I mean, those are actual Xbox games and stuff. So. But can you win a Kinect on Monopoly?
No. I was just saying that it's going on.
Well, anywho, back to that multiplayer thing.
Yeah.
You want to read the first submission?
Who are you addressing? Someone?
Greg! I'm just kidding.
Go for it, Greg.
hold on 1 second. I was actually reading the that Burger King thing, and I hit the thing to get rid of my page.
Uh-oh.
1 second. One second, bring it up. It's up there. Waiting for it to load. One second, and we're good. Would you say this guy's name is Mark Rhea? Ray?
Mark Ray, probably.
Mark Ray. All right, guys, we got our first submission coming for this episode. Mark Ray, he's writing about Halo Reach multiplayer. He says, hey, guys, longtime listener and fellow video game podcaster. I wonder what show he did. I'm a 35-year-old married with two kids and one on the way gamer. Needless to say, I don't have much time as I used to for games, so I choose them wisely. My top three favorite games of the past year have been Uncharted 2, Modern Warfare 2, and Halo Reach. I really have the Reach fever at the moment. What are your guys' other top favorite shooters? We can get on to that one second. Questions regarding Halo Reach that he has for us. I'll ask one at a time, and I'll ask one of you guys to answer it. He said that he's new to first-person shooters, but his
he's not new.
Sorry, my bad. To first-person shooters, but his reflexes aren't as quick as they used to be. He seems to rely more on strategy than hand-eye coordination skill when playing multiplayer. Said he likes some techniques, tactics, tips for one of the death dances during a multiplayer. You can use the basic situation of using assault rifle, DMRs with grenades, and no special armor skills. I think that would be best reflected at Brent.
Yeah.
What does he mean by death dances?
I guess he means like strafing. What's the best way for you to kill somebody? Do you melee? Do you go in straight for the melee? Do you wait for the melee?
What's like the optimal way? Like, what is the ideal situation to be in? Like,
yeah,
ideally, like I've thrown a grenade at their feet and then I like shoot them in the head. But it always differs. I mean, that's the point of Halo. You're not going to be in an ideal situation all the time.
If there's anything I can help out to, it would be sometimes when I'm trying to shoot people, instead of, you know, moving my look, I'll actually run toward them so I can keep it more steady.
Yeah.
Like I would say that would help out with first. Instead of always doing the look, you could actually move your character, and then which also moves your reticule towards somebody. That seems to help me out a lot. You know, when I'm trying to strafe, instead of actually looking, walk into, you know, the reticule shot. Next question. Match up your recommended armor skill for each map. For example, using jetpack on sword base is best because you can change levels throughout and you don't want to be stuck on the bottom floor. I don't really agree with that, but King Louie, you there? What's your yep. can you give an example of the best armor skill for a map?
Alright, so for a map like Powerhouse, it's probably best to use something like Sprint to get around efficiently. For that map, especially in the beta when lots of people were experimenting with the jetpack, it was really easy to just pick them off.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it does depend on, you know, your style of play and the people you're playing with. Because I've had some games where, you know, the whole team uses jetpacks and, you know, they dominate us. So, but I would say for, you know, maps where you have to cover a lot of ground, you know, you want to use Sprint. And then for a map like Countdown, I'd say use something more defensive like Armor Lock, since you have a lot of cover to use.
Pop and Lock It. You're here first, folks. Pop and Lock It.
I seem to rely more on the Sprint than any other armor ability. And my second one, I guess, would be Jetpack, and third one would be Armor Lock.
Oh, really?
Like, I don't see myself using the camo or the hologram that much.
I would say I use the hologram a lot in a campaign.
I'm talking multiplayer.
Yeah. But I don't think I ever use invisibility. I don't think I ever use that. I don't ever. But the only map that I don't pick armor lock on is Countdown. I pick Sprint. That's the only... That is, for personally, for me, just the way that I play, the only map that I don't use armor lock on.
I usually go for a Sprint no matter what map, even when it's on, like, a map like Sword Base. It's just, you know, what I like best. But if I don't do Sprint, I usually will do either armor lock or a jetpack.
Right. He wanted a recommendation for every map. So did we want to do a few more? Like I know for Ivory Tower, since a lot of the fighting happens on that top elevator level, that a lot of people tend to use the armor lock on Ivory Tower.
You never know when that rocket's going to come up and get you, bro. So I always use
armor. Or grenades, because there's grenades flying up there all the time, too.
Yeah. Try to think. On the cage, I think the cage is really good for, like, if you're defending or whatnot, I think it's really good to use the medic shield, the bubble shield. But if you're on offense, like, let's say I'm, like, one flag or something, I typically will use sprint on the cage. But, like, for Slayer, I'll always use armor lock on the cage.
The cage seems like a mix between sprint and jetpack.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be a lot for different instances of what game type you're playing. Because, like, if I'm playing offense on, like, Pinnacle and we get one flag, we'll usually delegate somebody to get the bubble shield. Because you can, you know, one person's in there getting the bubble shield on offense can... stay in there, try to get the flag.
Right.
Then while everybody else is shooting the guys around you, so that when they're all dead, then you can take it out and run. So it really just depends on which map it is, but I can't really say there's a best every single time. But I'd say my favorite's armor lock. It's when I use the most.
Yeah, Pinnacle seems more like a sprint map.
Yeah.
And then Hembridge is sprint and armor lock. I'd say.
Yeah, I'm going to finish the rest of this post real quick. He says, thanks so much for your dedication to the podcast. I'd love to be on sometime if you ever need a guest spot. Ooh, look at that. JBB can vouch for me. I'm part of the Platform Nation community and am a co-host on their Lock and Load podcast. Take care. Keep up the great work. His gamer tag is ADarkKnight2.
Very good.
He said, what's my other favorite shooters? I personally like Battlefield Bad Company 2. I think that's really good, and I will be. I didn't like Modern Warfare 2, but I think Black Ops looks pretty nice, and I think I'm gonna be getting Black Ops. But the only other shooter I really play is Bad Company 2. To be honest, that's only another one I play.
For me, Dustin,
you get into Bad Company, don't you?
I haven't played it actually. I haven't heard of PC, but I haven't played it at all. Shooters for me would be Modern Warfare. And Borderlands.
Oh, yeah, Borderlands. I need to get that. I don't have it.
Game of the year.
Game of the year.
I bought it at Best Buy, too.
You did? Look at that.
Yeah, because I had a $25 Best Buy card.
Oh, sweet, sweet, sweet. Hey, we take your money. Don't worry about it.
I don't see any slips of inflate discounts coming my way, so
everybody, like, customers come in like, do you guys take American Express? Do you guys take Discovery? Yeah, Best Buy loves your money. We will take it. Whichever way you can give it to us. You got a check, we take it. Is there a Brett, you play
other, I have Gears, but I don't play that much. And I have Left 4 Dead.
I mean, I have other ones too, but I wouldn't say that I actually play them. The only other play would be Battlefield. You know, probably,
I mean, there's also Halo 3, there's also Halo 2, there's also Halo. Oh, yeah. I guess another one I play quite often is Team Fortress 2 on the PC.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I haven't played that.
It's awesome.
I think O-King should be playing that. Should be reading the next one.
All right. So this one is from James Barber. He says, Dear PodTech, I was deeply surprised that my last submission was read.
Huh?
That my mom believed that I was, quote, waxing your knobs. Anyway, I don't exactly know what that means.
I don't really want to know what it means. So. Yeah.
I don't know, and yeah. Continue.
So, anyway, Reach has totally blown away my conceptions of what a game could be. I have already lost a couple days of sleep. Thank you, Bungie. What do you expect that 343 Industries will do with the franchise in their hands? I'm pretty sure they'll screw the pooch on this one.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
P.S. Have you guys tried Fallout 3? It's a superb RPG. Long live Halo, James Barber.
I do agree with the long loop Halo.
Hopefully. Yes.
I own Fallout 3, and I actually just got the Game of the Year edition of Fallout 3. So, yes, I would say I've tried Fallout 3.
I don't like it.
I've actually beaten it on the PC.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, where you go take care of the I won't give it away, but so-called president of America. You go take care of him, and that's pretty much the end of the story. But then there's like DLC and stuff, so.
Yeah, I haven't played that much because I really didn't like that. I liked it up until the point when I got out of the vault and I had to make decisions and stuff. I just didn't think it was very well laid out. I did
It seems like a lot of people have a hard time once they get out of the vault really getting into it. Yeah. And you really have to play it to where you start having a level to where you actually – you're taking on multiple quests and the story gets all complex and gets developed. Mm. Like you really don't get that until you're about a level 8.
Yeah, I probably just didn't give enough time. It must have been real
work. Yeah, that's.
I didn't like it. There's some people in my work that, like, they are obsessed. They still play all the time. And, like, they get Vegas and be playing it all the time.
I mean, from what I've heard people say about Vegas is that if you love Fallout 3, that you'd love Vegas. And I haven't bought it yet, but I'm really thinking about it.
Considering it. It's on the back burner.
Yeah. Like, I still got Need for Speed, Hot Pursuit that's coming out, and then Call of Duty Black Ops is coming out. So I'm not sure what I'm probably going to get because I just bought Borderlands. I just bought Fallout 3. I have another game that I probably bought recently. Oh, I bought Modern Warfare 2 recently.
That I probably spent a whole bunch of money on. I don't remember. I'm joking. What do you guys think 343 is going to be doing with Halo?
Well, they made that announcement about having two trilogies.
That one was for the book, though. Didn't they consider one for that book?
No, they were talking about game trilogies.
Would they both be? Did they say they're both going to be shooters? Did they mention?
I don't know if they specified that.
So they have said that they were going to be making at least two trilogies. What's already out, two more.
Two trilogies, yeah. Something along the line.
It'd be cool to see like something with Buck. That'd be awesome. Going on the ODST story, that'd be pretty cool.
I don't know. People that have listened to the podcast kind of know my opinion of 343 and my stance on them.
Like, they do a really good job with the Halo Waypoint stuff, like the movies and everything they make.
That kind of stuff's okay, but leaving it up to the storyline and developing games on the story, I think it's pretty much – it should be left to Bungie.
I kind of feel the same way. I mean, like, I'm not, like, super mad that, you know, Microsoft is, like, taking over, but still it seems like there's, like, a separation between – in my mind, between what Bungie does and what 343 does. And I feel like with Halo Wars, they kind of really set sort of the mood of how they're going to handle the Halo franchise.
And did you not like it? I thought Halo Wars was amazing.
I thought Halo Wars was okay, but there was some issues, you know, with the plot and the whole Flood thing. So
yeah.
To me, that sort of set, you know, the mood.
The game by itself, with a loose correlation with the universes, I thought was good.
The gameplay was awesome. Like the story was great too.
Yeah.
It didn't really add up too much, but Reach doesn't add up either at the end. I mean, if you know the book.
Yeah.
If you read the book, Pillar of Autumn is nowhere near Reach when they come. They're in the same solar system, but they're not definitely on the planet. They don't come back down neither. So that's kind of a little screwy, you know.
Yeah, I still have to figure that out in my head.
The only thing I can figure out is that
Key would have been an answer if he was here. Or the City of the Justice guys would.
The only way that I can figure out in my mind was that Key's had yet to leave yet. Or while Master Chief was on the space station. Maybe they went down. I don't think that they explained that in the book.
Yeah.
Well, there were some people thinking that the Hush casket there is not actually Chief.
Yeah. The thing is, though, it couldn't be Linda either because Chief brings her back to the Autumn when he goes back.
Yeah. Right.
But she dies.
Well, not really, but...
Well, she died in the explosion.
No, Linda's still alive. She's with Halsey.
Oh, okay. Is there... Okay, two questions as we're on this. Sorry, I know it's not multiplayer. Does George die? Does he die?
People are saying probably not.
Because there's no way he died, because the same thing happened to the Chief. I don't see how George died. That's number one. Number two... What the heck happens to June? Because we know what happens to Halsey afterwards.
But they don't mention George June. I was thinking June. George, we think, is pretty much dead.
But I mean, if you think about it,
we can't be sure. We can't.
When you watch the movie, and they basically go into slipspace, the entire ship that he's on is consumed by that.
No,
so that means his ship is just transported. No, the one that he's on, not the super carrier, but the one that he is on. Basically, in slipspace, what it does, it just takes you and then opens you up.
Oh, that's right.
So, is he dead? I don't believe so, because that thing is in working condition. The Covenant carrier is on, they're all dead. It is very, like, seems no, like he...
Well...
You gotta think about it.
How it's been depicted in the past games is the slip space rupture opens and then you fly into the rupture, where this rupture was actually generated from the inside out. And usually everything that that is in the way of that rupture gets pretty much disintegrated as it's growing. And then once it's set, then the ship enters it, and that's the portal.
Is that what happens in...
I'm pretty sure that translates into when he actually activated the slipstream drive. It was a small bubble that expanded, where normally what you do is you would expand the bubble in front of you, and then you would enter the bubble, and then it would collapse behind you.
Well, I think it'd be cool if somehow they could figure out some way to get George back.
Right.
Because if there's any kind of way that George did not die, I think they should run with that, because that's pretty cool.
June, though, I don't think died. Because he was with Halsey, and Halsey's definitely alive in later books.
Yeah, but they don't talk about June, though, so maybe they'll have a DLC out when you play with June. That'd be pretty cool.
They won't have a DLC with that. But 343 Industries might have a game that will have him back in it, probably.
Yeah.
June, the later years.
He's got a wife and kids. He's all fat.
Is it just me, or does it seem like there's a lot of Halo books coming out now?
Yeah, there's two, like, right? Yeah, there's like the Forerunner trilogy, and then Karen Travis is going to continue from the Ghost of Onyx.
She didn't. Yeah. I mean, she didn't do good with Star Wars.
And there's a couple other smaller ones too. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but
I don't know about any small ones.
Yeah, from what I heard, like, Karen Travis was really good at writing, war stories in the Star Wars universe, but then...
Well, she just added stuff and just made some Jedis gay. And it was like, what the fuck are you talking? It was just really unnecessary.
Okay.
I didn't like her stuff.
I guess that's why she kind of quit writing for Star Wars, but, I mean, I'm interested to see what she does, but I feel like, with that story arc, that Eric Nyland really owns that, and he should, you know, just handle it himself.
He's not writing anything, right? Right now.
No.
Actually...
Unless, like, more short stories or something.
No, I think he has... Like, he's in collaboration with 343, and I think he's at least planning a book. There was an interview with him on Waypoint... I want to say maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago, where he was discussing how he was in collaboration with 343 and that they're going to make books and everything.
Just Staten works for Bungie, right? Because I haven't seen him in a long time. I haven't seen his OST.
Yeah, he's as far as I know, he's still Bungie.
Okay. Because he was the one who basically wrote ODST, right? And he's the one that does the grunt voice.
Yes. Yes.
I just want to know, maybe he's writing for the new thing they're doing.
It'd be interesting to see what Bungie does as his next project.
I mean, it has to be a subscription-based multiplayer. I mean, everything is leading to look.
I mean, we're still kind of open to whether we're going to follow the Halo track or if we're following the Bungie track.
I mean, if it's up to me, I really don't care what Bungie's going to do next. I really don't. I mean, I'm going to be honest. Like, I think
a lot of people care, but a lot more people are going to be following the Halo.
Yeah. Be honest. I mean, it seems like it's because the way that Bungie's talking and that they want to do a competitive multiplayer game that is only multiplayer and it's going to be subscription-based. There's no way.
It better not be $60 full retail then. Unless they have an adequate number of maps and good multiplayer functionality to go with it.
Yeah. If they charge me monthly, no way. There's no way I'm paying for it. I've never paid for RPG. I'm not paying now. If it's free, then if it's like $4 a month and it's free, I might do something like that.
No, if it's just Xbox Live.
Yeah. Like if I have to pay for a game and then I have to pay to play it, no, I'm not doing it.
Like WoW.
Yeah, I mean, I've never done it. I'm not trying to say that. I'm trying to stand up for some kind of thing, but I'm just not interested in paying a lot of money to play a video game. Like that, you know. I mean, if it's more than like $7 a month, there's no way I'm paying for it.
Right.
Absolutely no way.
If there was a monthly thing, like over $3, I wouldn't pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, just like I would probably pay like around $5, but I mean, it's what seems like every visit.
$5 would be a max.
Yeah, because they've been saying like they want a game that can be with you all the time. What if it was always on?
No, that was Bungie.
No, I'm talking about next Bungie game.
Oh,
yeah, that's what they've been talking
about. 343.
Bungie's talking about doing a competitive multiplayer that's going to be subscription. There's no way I would pay for it. Not Microsoft. I don't think they're that dumb. I just think Activision.
Well, I think that probably one of the reasons they're doing that is because of the split off of Microsoft.
Yeah, I think Activision wants to do it, and I think that Bungie's really good at making first-person shooters that work well. I mean, they pretty much rewrote everything about a console first-person shooter in the 90s or in the 2000s. You got to think about it.
Yeah.
I think they can do it. You just gotta understand that unless I got a job that pays me $100,000 or $80,000 a year or a lot of money,
right?
I don't really see how I could choke up another. I mean, I already paid for Netflix, Xbox Live. I'll probably end up paying for Hulu Plus if it comes on Xbox. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I pay monthly, man. You know.
Your phone bill, your internet bill, exactly. Cable, whatever.
And I got to start saving up for retirement because Social Security ain't going to be there when I'm older. Let's be honest. Old Greg ain't getting no Social Security, let's be honest. It ain't happening.
With carpal tunnel. Okay, shall we move on?
Yeah, you should read this one.
This one comes from Greg, who is not Pokemon Master Indy, different Greg, says, I would like to know who's the best out of the bunch and who is the worst.
Out of us four? Like, on the four, who's on the show? I mean, I know Brent's not here anymore, but, I mean, would we...
Oh, no, neither of us have played with King Louis, so...
King Louis. What would you say your... if you could rank yourself, what would you say?
I would say probably average, maybe just slightly above average. That's how I'd grade myself.
Mm. I mean, I think Dustin's pretty good, but I would have to vote for Brent.
I think I'm better than Brent.
Oh, you think you are?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I played a lot with you guys, but
when I do notice you guys helping out a lot. I think I just noticed Brent playing.
I've found it a little bit easier to use the sniper in Reach too.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
I suck with it. I've always sucked.
Compared to Halo 3, I mean, the Reach sniper is, you know, I'm much better with it.
I mean, I still suck at sniping, but...
I'm not as bad, let's be honest.
You're better than me at sniping.
So who would your vote go for, Dustin?
I'd say you're at the top, then me, and then Brent. If it was just us three.
Yeah, I'm putting Louis, so... I think I'm okay. I wouldn't say I'm good.
I haven't played with you in a while, so I really don't know.
I've won 137 multiplayer games, and I've played 142.
Wow.
So.
I don't think my ratio is that good.
Let me see if I'm reading this right.
But you play with a lot of friends a lot of time, right?
Yeah, if I'm not. If I can't get a full party, I don't even play.
Really. See, I played sometimes despite the full party, and I think that's why my ratio is a little bit lower.
Really?
But I know I have my kill death streak for Halo Reach is like a 1.25 or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a lot better than Halo 3.
How do you see all this? I'm looking through it right now.
It's on your like main profile page.
It just says games played, weekly challenges.
Should have a KD ratio.
I have a 1.53. Is that what you're talking about? Can you see your plus minuses anywhere?
What do you mean plus minuses?
Like your positive 10, negative whatever.
Oh, no. There may be global stats for that of some kind, but might be somewhere. But anyway, mine was at like 1.4 for
positive 4
at the beginning of Reach, but then it slowly started to level out.
What to closer to 1?
Yeah, like in the first 2 weeks of playing Reach, out my KD spread was like 1.5. Now it's like 1.2.
I have 83 kills an hour. That's pretty cool.
Dang, that's a lot.
I have 110 medals an hour.
Is that total or is that for like...
I'm looking for a competitive.
Firefight. Oh.
Competitive. And then I have 17 medals a game. That's my average. Huh. I have more medals than kills. How does that work?
Because you can get multiple medals per kill.
I have 23,000 medals and I have 17,000 kills.
Okay.
Well, 1700. Sorry.
I'll take the next one too, since the last one was short. But Arrowhead 896 writes in, "Hey Potac, here are my thoughts on Halo Reach's multiplayer, specifically on the DMR. I think it's the best weapon in the game, and it almost seems as awesome as the Halo 2 Battle Rifle. In terms of gameplay, it seems a lot like Halo 2 Carbine, which wasn't as crappy as the Halo 3 one. The 3x Zoom was a nice addition, and the 15-round clip is awesome as well. Those two factors, along with the ability to 5-shot, are why I like it better than the Needle Rifle. The Needle Rifle would be awesome in SWAT, though, but unfortunately, it's not there. Well, it's there for Elite SWAT, so... Anyways, also, a note on the bullet that the DMR uses. According to Halopedia, it uses a 7.62x51mm cartridge, which was introduced back in 1950 and was suppressed by the 5.56x45mm cartridge used by modern guns like the M16 and M4. Why is the UNSC using such an old bullet? It's like the way they still use the grenade launcher. First introduced in 2262, 300 years before Reach. When the DMR is fired, it expels a 9.5 40mm cartridge used by Halo 2 and Halo 3 battle rifles instead of the 7.62 51mm cartridge. How did you get all this specific information? Holy crap.
interesting mistake by Bungie. Hopefully my spell checker doesn't fail me this time. Looks good
to well, me. Why do I think they did that? Probably because I don't really
like that. I don't think you asked why. I think you just made a mistake.
Okay. Supposedly a DMR can kill a cow or something. Is that right? I think I read something about that.
I mean, does it really matter what kind of bullets they use? I mean, they're probably modeling off of real-world guns anyway.
Well, they do say that, like, the pistol bullet is stronger than the DMR bullet.
But yeah, it's a pistol.
It's an assault rifle.
I heard that the pistol and the DMR actually use, like, the same bullet, but with the pistol it just has, you know, less range and, like, velocity.
Actually, I think the pistol would use a thicker slug than the DMR. The DMR should be, sorry. I think it would be a little slimmer, but I think they would do almost the same damage. I don't know. I'm not a gun nut, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, boy.
It's just my random thoughts.
As for the grenade launcher thing, I think they meant that a version of the grenade launcher was introduced, and they probably made, you know, slight modifications and stuff to bring it up with the times.
Right, and why not use something when it's not broke, right?
Would you say the grenade launcher, when you hold it down, that it's weaker? I think it's a lot weaker.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I didn't know if that was true or I just noticed it.
I don't even use the grenade launcher.
I pick it up all the time in a powerhouse.
Unless I'm going up against a vehicle, I don't use it ever.
I mean, like, I want to use it, but it's just I find that I can never get a kill with it unless there's, like, a group of guys together.
Brute shot would be... Well, even the concussion rifle would be a better weapon of choice, even though the concussion rifle kind of sucks if you don't get a dead-on shot.
Yeah, if you can get at close range with the concussion rifle, it'll, you know, really do some damage.
I've seen videos of people shooting people off the spire with the
Oh, with yeah, this happened to me a few times.
It's like they just bump you off and you go falling down. Ah, it's like, bye-bye. See you later, sucker.
That's where jetpack comes in handy.
I'll go ahead and read the next one.
Okay.
Next one here is from Jub. I'm pretty sure it's his gamer tag. I don't think his parents named him Jeb or her. Don't want to discriminate. He says, "Hi, PodTech. This is Jeb, my first submission to the show. Thanks for sending one in, buddy. I've been listening for a few months now, and discussions about Reach have been greatly enjoyable. Speaking of which, I found the Reach multiplayer to be great fun so far. Maybe not as engaging as Halo 3, but still enjoyable. The new weapons is the Needler Rifle and the DMR are great additions, replacing the one weapon to rule them all, a.k.a. the Death Star, a.k.a. the Death Rifle, or the Special Assault Rifle, as we used to call it.
Oh, yeah.
Weapons like the AR and the Magnum have been greatly improved and are actually a pleasure to use now. Yeah, dude, I use the AR so much now. The only criticism I have are the maps. The majority of them just don't seem to play that well. The cage is probably the worst, I would agree with you. It has some horrible spawns and feels really cramped. Powerhouse seems to be a little different from the beta, although this might just be me and everyone seems to camp at the top of the green left with a sword on sword base. I would say that on sword base, too.
Yeah.
I'm finding Countdown and Zella to be great fun, and Adam and Cliffhanger seem like decent additions for now. Recently, Bungie are always making tweaks and additions. The game is still in early stages and can only get better from here with the DLC. Keep up the good work, guys. Joe." Yeah, I would agree with a lot of things you said. I don't like the cage. I really don't like Zealot. I think
Zealot's fine.
I think Countdown and sword base are much favorite.
The cage, it seems like there's only really three control points on the map. You have the top spawn, you have the lifts area, and then you have the sniper tower. Yeah. Seems like those are the three main central areas.
I find myself going to the bottom a lot more because nobody ever looks down there. You can, it's pretty easy to hide. So when you're starting to shoot people, you run around. You get some good advantage points, unless they're on the very top where like the lifts are. Then you can't see anybody over there. But the cage has to be my either my least favorite or like every time I play it, I try to veto it. Not veto, but not choose it. I don't know. I guess I just don't like Zealot a lot. It's maybe because I don't really play Slayer that much. I play a lot of Skirmish. And it just doesn't work on Skirmish for me. Like, I don't really like Bomb. I don't like anything on Zealot. I don't.
Right.
Oddball's not bad, but yeah.
I don't know. Like I said before, Zealot works for Slayer stuff.
Yeah.
But I also had a stockpile game on it the other day, and it was actually not that bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we need to have like a customs night where we started just playing with random games.
Yeah. When we did the custom night last week, there was actually a terminal remake, and instead of the train, they had the kill ball rolling down. It's actually pretty cool. The only side effect was there was no flag cap spawn area. Yeah, so we went to go get the flag, and we took it back to the base, and there was no place to put the flag.
What?
There was no cap point.
Did the ball move fast, or did it go slow?
It was kind of slow.
Oh.
I mean, at least it worked, which was the amazing part. And I got a 23 kill streak with the Goshawk. It was pretty sweet. I guess I'll go ahead and take the last one. Rocket Scientist writes in, "Hey guys, I'm a new listener since the Reach launch, and I'm really enjoying the show. I'm interested in your thoughts regarding the daily challenges and how much credits they award. I've noticed some inconsistencies, like I can sometimes spend 20 minutes in score attack and get 4,500 credits for completing a couple dailies, and other times I spend 2 hours playing matchmaking for 2,000 credits. And the current weekly is 4,000 for 1,000 multiplayer, or multiplayer matchmaking kills, which seems very little reward for a lot of work."
Yeah.
Thoughts? Yeah, that's... I mean, I have that issue too, and that's when I go for the daily challenges. I only go for the high point ones that'll take me together less than an hour to get.
Nah, if it's not over 1,000, I don't try to get it. It's not really a point, you know, because you can get.
Well, if it only takes me 1 minute, or I mean, one game to get something that's like between 500 and 1,000, I'll do it. If I have time to do it, but other than that. Like a lot of the firefight stuff, I don't know why it's
so much
faster.
I know.
Yeah, yeah, it seems a little ridiculous.
Like if there was like a get, I don't know, 20 kills in a sniper game or something like that, that'd be much funner to try to, harder to get, because you can play two grunt cop. Like if they have any challenge for firefight today, you just play one or two games of Grand Apocalypse, you can get all of them. It doesn't take that long.
Yep.
Yeah.
At the most, two. Because, like, what is it? Today, what are they?
Well, today was actually get 200 or 20,000 in firefight.
You get that in snipers. That's pretty easy.
No, so. You can't.
But that one, you really can't.
You have to do that with Mythic. You have to do that with Mythic score attack. You can't do that with anything else. Nothing else gives you high enough points.
The good news is that since they extended the length of the whole length of the firefight game and matchmaking, that you have a pretty good chance of getting up to that score.
What do you mean they extended the length? It's still just one round.
No.
For score attack it is, but for regular firefight.
Oh, I never played regular firefight.
There's like a half hour time limit now, and it goes through. Geez, I get the sets and waves and stuff mixed up. I think it's
one goes through the whole set. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so is it 20 by yourself or is it 20?
I think it's 5 waves in a round. Three it's rounds 20. In a set.
I think it's 20 by yourself because I think they had that one before.
Has anybody actually? I've been really wanting to do this, and I haven't found anybody else that wants to playing like firefight like it was in ODST, like just playing normal.
I have not.
Sometimes, but getting those achievements kind of traumatized me. So. I'm happy with my unlimited lives.
I boosted with the doing the custom settings and everything. I boosted those achievements.
Oh yeah, there's no way you could get those achievements without modifying it.
Yeah.
One of my theories is that, you know, they purposely did that so you could, you know, go into custom games and, you know, see what options there are for you. Because they were talking about, you know, utilizing the achievements to show off, you know, features of the game.
Right. Well, we will. One of our tournaments, or at least the tournament that I have, is a firefight tournament, so.
That was fun last year when we did that. Or we didn't do it, but we participated in one. That was pretty fun.
We did?
Yeah, me and Chucky, you know.
Oh, like I say, I don't remember any tournament.
Yeah, we did it a few times. We didn't. I think we came pretty close to either second or third. I don't remember which one. But that was fun.
Okay. But yeah, for us, in terms of like point balances for firefight versus the matchmaking, it just seemed kind of out of proportion to me.
Yeah. I really think that they should, you know, like, raise, you know, the credits you earn for matchmaking, even if it's just, like, by 100, just, you know, like, raise it up a little bit more and then take down firefight a bit and then stop doing so many, you know, firefight daily challenges.
Right, and the one last week, which was the 4,000 credits for 1,000 matchmaking.
Yeah.
You have to play between 2 to 3 hours every day in matchmaking in order to get that.
Yeah. Although, what I did like about that is that actually, you know, you had to, you know, it was a weekly challenge. Like, with some of the weekly challenges, you could just, you know, get them in a day.
Yeah, but for people that have a regular working life schedule, they can't get that.
Yeah.
You shouldn't play Halo if you don't have time.
And then... On the upside,
right, you shouldn't play Halo if you don't have time. That makes perfect sense.
Correct.
On the upside, oh, go ahead. Okay, I'll go. So, on the upside of that, you could play, you know, like maybe like 4, 5, or 6 rounds in matchmaking, and you know, get the equivalent amount of credits that you would get. So, I mean, it's not like you're losing too much out on credits if you, you know, don't make the challenge.
And it seems like there needs to be some new game type in Firefight. Like, having only the 4 options seems just a little narrow-minded of some kind, of some sort. Oh, no.
Yeah, like, make up some, you know, like, neat variations, like plasma weapons only or something like that.
Or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I find it hard to get the... commendations for like the pistol and the assault rifle, because I'm always going into Grand Apocalypse where you don't spawn with the assault rifle at all.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's another thing. Those commendations take a long time to get.
I don't even really try. I'm be honest, I've never really tried to go out of my way.
I know someone who has like 4 onyxes already in some of the commendations. It's crazy. I try to play to the commendations now as much as I can.
I'll usually like look on Bungie.net and, you know, check out my commendations, and if I'm really close to getting one, then I'll focus on that. But besides that, I'll usually just, you know, take them as they come.
Because everybody seems to have that one in campaign where you get the killing when you the second map where you can get the Hammer of Dawn, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, the air strike.
I heard a lot of people boosted for that. I haven't done that.
Yeah, I haven't done it either, so I didn't know.
It's killing enemies with heavy weapon.
Yeah.
That's
like somebody who I won't say on the show, because I know they listen, was telling me that they did that for a full day, and then they got Onyx, and I was like, wow. I think I'm going to do it the real way.
Didn't Bungie reset the credits for those people?
Not for those people. They
not for those people.
Yeah.
You had to actually cheat. I think that like, there was like
challenge
actual,
resetting.
But it was frowned upon.
Yeah.
You can reset the challenge. How do you do that?
Oh, it's something where you like disconnect and in the middle of a round. That's the sort of stuff that they ban people for.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's like some weird thing, like where, like, if you, like, earn the challenge or something, you disconnect or something, and then when you log back in, it'll show that you didn't earn it yet.
Okay. Because you can still, like, go in and leave the game and it will still stay.
Yeah, but apparently with this little, like, glitch or hack that these people found...
Oh, wow. That's...
It'll, yeah, allow you to keep earning challenges over and over again.
Wow, that's a bad bug.
Yeah, so they're banning people for that. But not for the Oni sword base thing.
Right.
I don't know if they should on the sword base thing. I don't think it's really that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said that it would kind of be unfair to ban people for that since, you know, they're just playing the game and it was kind of seems like it was a mistake on their part.
Right.
I blame Bungie.
You blame Stosh, right?
Yeah, for everything.
I do like the weekly blame Stosh videos, though.
Yeah.
Although I wish they could pick some better videos.
Did you see that one today where, like, the whole map?
Yeah, that was really cool. That was cool. Apparently, like, I was looking through the YouTube comments and the Bungie.net comments, and apparently it has to do something with spawning everything on a grid, then changing the height of the items and then deleting the grid and it falls down into position or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's like what you said, you place the grid and you set the items to fixed instead of like phased or whatever.
Right.
And then you place them on the grid and then, you know, modify the height and stuff. So I'll have to try that out sometime.
Yeah.
Even just like
but, I mean,
a block.
For how long it took for all that stuff to come down and how complex that design was?
I know.
It,
seemed, have to
it would
totally,
be like a lot of time.
I know. You have to
granted,
precisely
cool.
calculate the, you know, the height that all the objects would have to be.
Well, you could just take the current height and just subtract it a certain number for every block. But still,
every piece.
Yeah, that's a lot of time and effort. I mean, it would be cool for Machinima stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure. That's... Yeah. Hmm.
One's a man's trash is another man's treasure. It's true.
It seems like they're repeating a lot of challenges, too. It seems like they need with something a little more creative.
Covenant size, shoot,
although
loop.
The linking the stats was a nice twist, and then uploading a clip to your file share was an interesting twist, too.
Yeah, those were good.
Yeah, those were nice.
They showed off features of the game that other people might not pick up on.
I could see like them maybe doing next one is like take a screenshot or clip a film or something like that. Or set a nameplate.
A nameplate?
Yeah, like the Chief Helmet or the Halo 2 or the Halo 3 or the Marathon symbol or... Those are called nameplates.
Oh, you mean for your on your next to your name and matchmaking. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yet not ruining the total experience for that day. I think the problem that Bungie's having, or you know, the tricky part is you know, trying to come up with something creative, but yet something that won't break, you know, the game for that day. Like say, you know, get
name.
5 shoddy kills or something like that. Everyone's going to go for the shoddy. So,
that
I
one
think
day
that's what they're running
into. You had to get 10 kills while jetpacking. In that day, everybody used jetpacking. Oh, it is so easy. I'm killing all you guys. But, and then that, when they have like grenade days, it's ridiculous because everybody just throws nades the whole time and it's. They've done that since like the first week, and I'm thankful.
Yeah.
I kind of like the shooting and looting, and I kind of like it because it makes it easy and it's kind of straightforward. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in a way,
I guess an interesting one would be doing an overcharge kill.
That'd be
get
good.
Get 5 overcharge kills in matchmaking or something.
Or getting, you know, like a whole bunch of, like, wheelmen. Or, like, a splatter spree. Something like that.
Splatter spree.
That won't, you know, kind of... I mean, the splatter spree one, that's kind of on the borderline, but...
But you don't have to make it that many points.
Yeah. Just something a little bit different.
Right.
Like, find all the data pads. Have they even, like, publicly said anything about the data pads?
No.
They haven't mentioned anything about them. But you found them all, right?
Yeah. It's supposed, the rumor is it's supposed to unlock some kind of extra cutscene or something.
I found one. I found one on Pulavanum. There's 3, right?
No, there's one on each level, and then there's an additional one on each level if you play on Legendary.
Oh. I played it. I found it on Legendary, so it might have been an additional one.
And then on the last one, the Lone Wolf level, if you play on Legendary, there's one on that one as well. So there's a total of 19 data pads. And I'll probably be doing a video tutorial of them in about 2 weeks.
That'll be nice. Oh,
sweet.
Although Rooster Teeth already has their up, but...
There's no, like, weird things. We had to jump through the rings a certain way. Like, to get the skull and them.
That was pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for Marty. He thought it was going to be all tricky and stuff, and then someone just hacked in and found it.
Oh, really?
Does Marty do that? Is he in charge of the skull?
You're talking about Halo 3, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He got to place the I Would Have Been Your Daddy one, since it had to do with, like, audio and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
So, like, on the podcast, he was like, oh, no one's ever going to find it. And then, of course, you know, people hacked in and were able to find it.
Oh, is that how people find those things? They do the source
code. Yeah, they use dev kits, yeah.
Oh.
Dev kits debugging.
Oh, that's cool. Their hump day challenge is versus too old to play this week. That's pretty sight.
Yeah, we need to get a hump day challenge going with them. That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that pretty much wraps up our show, don't you guys think?
Yeah. Hey, could you send me a copy of the show? Before you release it? Or just of the recordings? I want to edit it. I want to see something.
Okay.
Make a techno remix.
I mean, I'm still editing it.
I'm going to auto-tune everybody.
Oh, gosh.
That'd be funny. Okay. That'd probably be the most annoying thing I could do.
Well, let's do the shindig. Send in your comments, questions, submissions to submissions@podtacker.com. Our show is community-centered based on your submissions, so be sure to submit. Watch podtacular.com for an invitation to submit your stuff for next week's show, which will be customs.
Hey, Johnny 12 Gauge got in on the match.
On which one?
The hump date against Bungie.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Who else was on our show from the Johnny 12 Gauge, and who else? Can't remember.
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look. And I'm too tired right now to go to
make. Oh, Diddy Rock. Wasn't it Diddy Rock?
The name's not ringing the bell, so I don't know.
Anywho, we're reading that good night thing. We singing the
the good night thing.
We singing everybody a lullaby.
Good night. Yeah.
Be sure to check out our website. Podtacular.com. While you're there, come drop a line in the forums and get involved with the community. Podtacular Pros, follow us on Twitter, listen to the show, comment, send things in, read the forums, post a topic so Painkiller can have another forum post. Just do it. Do it all. You got plenty of stuff to do. This is not like, you know, you go to a website, you read
and
the
PayPal.
News. Oh, yeah, hit up that PayPal if you got a dollar or two. There's a lot of things to do, man. Hit us up on Reach.
Yep. We're trying to grow, so we've started trying to do custom game nights on Tuesdays. we'll probably have a tournament of some kind coming out, probably beginning December-ish. And I have two recon codes to give away.
I've got one. You want mine?
Sure. Like, I pre-ordered the limited, and I didn't even use the recon
helmet. Yeah, I haven't used it either. I don't care.
Yeah, you can unlock the base helmet of recon once you get up to, I think it's like Brigadier or Colonel or something. So. Yeah,
but we'll have codes to give away, or as prizes for tournaments.
I think we need to give away the OST, because that's freaking
sweet. We are. Actually, one of the prizes is going to be the OST.
Yes,
I have a copy wrapped up sitting on my bookshelf to give away.
Can I have it? You're giving it away.
I mean, well, that's a prize.
What do I gotta do?
I'm not sure. It's gonna be for one of the tournaments. Probably our first like actual multiplayer matchup tournament is probably gonna be the prize for that. The two ideas that's going around in my head right now is a firefight tournament and a 1v1 tournament.
Bungie be too old to play. Come on, too old.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Thanks, Greg, for showing up. We hope to see more of you in the future.
Crazier things have happened. yeah, guys, check out next week. We do customs creations, right? Customs creation.
That's what we're doing next.
Send in your custom maps, your custom game types. I don't know. If you got something cool with your armor, send that in. Whatever's custom, do what you got to do. Send us some. Maybe send us a video. We'll show your videos off. Show us a video.
That's been another topic, is whether or not to do like a customs pod TV kind of like monthly episode of some kind.
Yeah, try out the cool stuff. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'll definitely be bringing a few customs for next week that are pretty cool, like the Terminal remake and then Sacrifice on Lava Pit. So, that kind of stuff.
Sacrifice.
Definitely send your stuff in. Maps and game types, map game type pairs, that kind of stuff.
Is there another Halo podcast out there? You know?
Is there one? There's Arm the Flag has a podcast.
Oh, they do? Oh.
Fritria Guard has a podcast.
I mean, but there's more about the community, right? It's not about actual Halo, right?
I mean, they talk about Halo stuff. Anyways, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. So, thanks guys for listening in. Thanks to Brent, he had to leave out early because of late night stuff. Thank you, King Louie, for coming in and making the...
It is 3 in the morning, Eastern time.
Video, which will be the intro for the podcast.
And also my ringtone. So if you hear somebody walking down the streets of Atlanta and you hear the beaver tone going off.
Highway to the beaver zone.
Well, thanks you guys for having me on the podcast.
Hey, we gotta do it again soon sometime, buddy.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Indeed it has.
Next time I gotta have some more questions prepared about what you're doing. I really didn't know we were having.
Actually, you had you kind of covered it pretty well.
I didn't even know we were having a guest host till till I showed. I was unaware. I was not prepared.
That's what happens when you don't come for like 3 months.
I conquered.
Thanks guys for listening in, and we will see you guys next week at some point.
Peace out, folks.
Peace out.